Did you know that two quarterbacks, five running backs, 10 wide receivers, and eight tight ends were drafted in day two of the NFL draft? That's right. Second and third round. Plenty of fantasy implications in that day two. Today, we're going to break down some of the top five players that we think are going to be the biggest assets for Dynasty. Because, like, listen, just last year, some key players from Christian Watson and Breece Hall all the way down to Rashad White and Brian Robinson were drafted on day two and became fantasy assets in their first season. So we're going to see plenty of rookies from these two rounds, come out and break out in year one. Before we do, I want to make sure you follow us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. And of course, make sure you jump over to Razzball.com. We're doing great stuff on the written side, football, basketball, baseball, and hockey. So anything you need to win your fantasy league. But today's show are the day two picks, the top five day two picks that are going to impact your Dynasty League starting right now on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. That's right, folks. We have a little bit of a collab, a Dynasty diehard Razzball Fantasy collab going today, folks. We got Nate Polvolt from Razzball, from In Between Media, from Fantasy Pros. You can follow him at Nate Polvolt on Twitter. What's going on, Nate? I can't hear you. Is that me? Or is that you?
No, that was me, Bob. That was me. I'm tired.
I know your voice. I know your voice is gone. I was like, damn, I can't hear
you. Oh, it did. No, it really went, right? Dude, I have been nothing but knee deep in football since this draft because, dude, first of all, have you seen that many trades in a draft before in your life? It was insane. And can we just real quick talk about Jahmyr Gibbs going at 12 overall to the Lions?
You know what, Nate? I did tell you pre-show to go on your 30-second rant about the draft, so hit it, man. Go for it.
All right. Here's the thing. They already had Jahmyr Gibbs. They already had him. They had DeAndre Swift, who is Jahmyr Gibbs. They're the same player. They're guys who do not do well between the tackles. They can run outside, but he's not a goal line threat, right? So why would you get Jahmyr Gibbs when you already have DeAndre Swift under contract for cheaper that you are going to have to pay Jahmyr Gibbs? It does. And I get that there was a nice little trade there, right? They got some capital from the Eagles for him, but I just feel like it was the dumbest pick of the draft, Bobby. I can't rationalize it. I don't get it. And I like Dan Campbell and what the Lions are doing, but this just seemed ridiculous.
Well, the first thing is there was something off last year, right? Jamal Williams completely took over that backfield and the goal line. And Swift, I think one of the things you notice right away, he can't stay healthy. And I think Dan Campbell is one of those, like, the best abilities availability kind of guys. Sure. And the other thing is it was the last year of his contract. So he's like, they're not going to pay him. So they're like, you know what? We do want the Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram kind of style backfield with that 1-2 punch. So they probably like David Montgomery as that Jamal Williams / Mark Ingram role from the New Orleans days when Dan Campbell was on that staff. But they wanted that passing game back, that Alvin Kamara type. So maybe Gibbs, they realized they're not going to pay Swift. They thought, you know what, let's get something for him and bring in Gibbs. And now we have him potentially for 5 years. So I think there was something to that. But I agree. I am a Swift truther, and I love that he went to the Eagles. So
Sure.
It worked out for everybody. I'm happy.
Yeah, no, hopefully he does what he could do in Philly. We'll see.
We'll see. Honestly, and you know what? I'm all about it. Hey, if you're going to draft a guy, bring him into the offense, at least trade the other guy. I'm all about it. Spread the wealth. Fantasy football is going to be a lot more fun because of those moves, and I love it. Let's talk about day two today, folks. We're going to talk about top five players from day two that's going to impact your Dynasty leagues. And, of course, what did I have to do? I had to bring in the Dynasty guy, Nate, to help us with this episode. So let's start at number five. You wanted to talk about this player, Tank Dell, the wide receiver who was drafted by the Houston Texans. So tell us why you think he's going to be good for Dynasty.
So this is a little bit under the radar. He went in the third round. He was a sixth pick of the third round. And people aren't I don't think they're talking about this landing spot enough because there's this stigma that Houston sucks, right? And we've seen this organization fumble repeatedly over the last 5 to 6 years, make poor decisions, believe in Davis Mills. But now you've got Tank Dell, who's this kind of under the radar slot guy who was really efficient at Houston. 67% of his snaps came out of the slot, all right? His catch rate was 71% out of the slot. What do you want for a rookie quarterback in C.J. Stroud? You want that emergency guy who works well within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. That's exactly what Tank Dell does. The guy had 17 touchdowns as a primarily slot receiver in Houston. And Houston was a good team. And I know there's concerns about his size. He's 5'8", 165, right? Wes Welker was tiny. Nobody had a problem with Wes Welker, right? Julian Edelman's a pretty small guy. Nobody had an issue with Julian Edelman. And I know I'm spouting off New England Patriots guys here, but he really is. He's the perfect, reliable, short target for a rookie quarterback. And if you look at their wide receiver room, they don't have a lot of depth. They've got Nico Collins, Robert Woods, John Metchie, who we don't know how well he's going to do coming off of, unfortunately, sitting out a year from cancer, but he's been a full go in practices recently. And then they've got Dalton Schultz. This feels like a situation where a guy who we're all undervaluing could pop off year one in an offense that kind of favors his skill set right now.
So do you think him and John Metchie kind of overlap a little bit, though?
They could. They absolutely could. But I think as many of those short-range target guys you can have for a rookie quarterback, the better. Especially a guy, C.J. Stroud, coming from Ohio State, where we've seen development issues in those quarterbacks. I mean, look at Justin Fields. It took him two seasons to really get there. And you could argue that Houston is a worse situation than what Justin Fields walked into. Now, I could be totally off my rocker here, right? But this pick just feels like it's a winner. And you're getting Tank Dell in the third round of rookie drafts. It's worth a dart throw, because at that point, yep, that's all you're doing in a third round of a rookie draft is they're dart throw guys.
Yeah, and this guy was drafted by this coaching staff, which means something more than John Metchie. And the other thing, this kid was from Houston, right? You just brought up. Yep. That's their backyard. So they must have known something locally that this kid is worth the draft pick. So I do like that as well. Let's jump down to number four. I had to do it. I know this is ridiculous. I had to do it. It's Rashee Rice, the Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver. I had to do it. When Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes drafts a wide receiver, you have to take notice that I had to learn more. First off, this is the first thing that blew me away. He met up with Patrick Mahomes in Dallas this offseason and threw with him in the offseason. Patrick Mahomes allegedly called up the GM for the Chiefs and said, you need to go get this kid right now. And that's what they did. And for me, sometimes I'm like, you know what? That's all I needed to hear. I'm like, okay, I didn't even have to do any numbers. I was like, you know what? If you're telling me Patrick Mahomes got on the table, started banging for Rice and said, you got to come to this team, I already love it. You know that he's already got the backing up. And he called him, by the way, the day of the draft. He calls him up. He's like, yo, man, welcome to the Chiefs. Love that. They traded up to get him. All the narratives you need, I absolutely love for Rice as well. Now, his player profiler stats and data, it doesn't really jump off out of you necessarily. His comparables are Terrace Marshall and Sidney Rice. And Sidney Rice had a nice third-year leap, but his first two seasons didn't do much. Terrace Marshall hasn't really done anything his first two seasons. So there is a little bit of hesitation in the sense of his comparables. Didn't really jump out right away. But, you know, at least there's opportunities, right? No Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman are both gone. That vacates a plenty of opportunities. According to my analysis, 221 this offseason. Then you have Kelsey, of course, is the number one. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who's a nice player, but doesn't intimidate you. You have Kadarius Toney, all the talent in the world, but constantly gets hurt. And then Sky Moore is still a giant question mark. So there's plenty of opportunity for him to step in as a rookie and dominate. And finally, I just wanted to take a look. I mean, SMU, nothing crazy as a team, but Cortland Sutton came out of there. That's somebody. The current coaching staff with Lashley, whatever his name is, longtime offensive coordinator in college. Sammy Coach and James Prochet are the two guys I noticed that he kind of coached up to make the NFL. So not too much there overall, but I'm still interested. I love that Patrick Mahomes banged on the table for this kid, and that's why he's on my radar heading into this offseason. Let's jump down to number three, Nate. You want to talk about Sam Laporta, the tight end for the Detroit Lions. So why do you think he should be on this list?
So this is a guy who is under the radar for most dynasty analysts, which I thought was interesting because when you see players coming from the Iowa offense, Iowa's offense sucks. Their offense has sucked for years. They're more of a run attack, and it showed. He didn't have a lot of opportunity in this offense, but he went to a team that has a pass catcher problem. We just saw major suspensions for this team. Quintez Cephus cut. He's gone because he was indefinitely suspended. And then you've got the second-year guy, Jameson Williams, who is still recovering from that ACL tear in college, who saw limited work at the end of last season. Now he's missing the first six games. This is an offense that needs to take a step forward. They let DJ Chark go. Amon-Ra St. Brown is really the only elite pass catcher they have in this offense right now, unless you want to include Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery to a degree. But he's quick for a tight end, a 4.59 40, and he had an 11.16 agility score at the combine, which is huge because that was the 90th percentile for tight ends, Bobby. And if you're looking for a guy who can do it all, this is a guy who can do it all. He's a talented pass catcher, but he's not a liability in the blocking game. He can run block and he can pass block. And I just wanted to point something out. You brought up Travis Kelce when we were talking earlier. Kelce's senior season at Cincinnati, he had 45 catches for 700 yards and 8 touchdowns. Now, that caps over what Laporta did his entire career as far as touchdowns go. But Laporta only saw 238 targets over the entirety of his 4 seasons at Iowa. This is a case of a guy who I think is going to take off in an offense that needs him to be productive year one. And if not year one, this is a guy who's productive at least in year two. And again, this is a third round rookie draft pick that you can stash on taxi until you need him. He starts to pop off, you bring him onto your bench and you start him. You roll him out as a flex, but you don't have to year one. And that's what you're looking for in these guys who are third round or fourth round draft capital in your rookie drafts. I just think there's so much opportunity for him in this offense because he does so many things well, and he's an unusually agile tight end for his size.
Spark scores through the roof, my friend. You're not joking. You want to invest in these athletic tight ends, especially in a position that's so scarce. The draft capital is decent enough, and there is a giant need with that TJ Hockenson size hole in the offense. So yeah. I do love this one. All right, jump down to number 2, Devin Achane. The Miami Dolphins running back. First of all, when I was looking at this kid, I going into this process, Miami was on my radar constantly. Raheem Mostert, I like him, and Jeff Wilson, but God, they just can't stay healthy. I mean, as soon as they start playing well, they get like 15 carries in 4 straight games, and injuries coming. And so the Miami Dolphins kind of ran it back with those two guys, and that's totally fine. They, you know, Miles Gaskin, those guys, and Salvin Ahmed. But I was curious to see Dalvin Cook has been rumored to them. I was also interested to see if any of the big-time running backs went to them. So when this kid landed there, I immediately said, I got to look into him. His player profile comp is Chris Johnson. Yeah, CJ2K. And I was like, okay. 99th percentile, 40-yard dash. 91st college dominator. 93rd college target share. This kid was dominant on the ground, but he's also got elite, elite speed. And so at there, it got me really interested because you don't think of a lot of 2,000-yard rushing backs. Like, you think Adrian Peterson and those elite backs. But CJ2K, by the way, rushed for 2,000 yards as a dominant speed back. He wasn't an in-between thumper necessarily. So I do love that fit with this guy. And plus, the running backs that really succeed, whether in short-term or long-term, have been those quicker, smaller backs. You know, Matt Breda, you know, Raheem Mostert, in that Shanahan-type scheme, those guys really flourish. So I do love the fit as well. Also, Jimbo Fisher, by the way, has put together some interesting, his college coach, really some good players. Ironically enough, Dalvin Cook, Joseph Addai, Devonta Freeman. So there's been a lot of running backs that came out of that Jimbo Fisher offense that's really excelled in the actual NFL. And finally, rookie running backs can actually play well. Mike McDaniel under the Shanahan tree. Elijah Mitchell in 2021 was the RB16. Alfred Morris, by the way, in 2012 was the RB10 as a rookie under the Shanahan scheme when Mike McDaniel was on the offense. So I as his coach. So I do think that he will not hesitate to put out the best player. And if that's Devin Chain, I think he's going to be an absolute stud this season. All right, let's jump down to number 1. Marvin Mims, wide receiver from the Denver Broncos, a guy that could be waiting in the wings behind Sutton, Judy, and Tim Patrick. So tell us why you wanted to talk about Marvin Mims this offseason.
So something we like to talk about in Dynasty, it's very simple. Draft capital matters because the earlier that you're drafted, the more likely you are to see snaps sooner. The Denver Broncos, despite having Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler when he's healthy, Cortland Sutton, and Tim Patrick already rostered, they traded up to get Marvin Mims to make sure that they got this guy. Here's what I see happening as a Denver Broncos fan and someone who's pretty aware of what goes on with the team, local news, local sports media. I think this is bad news for Cortland Sutton, Bobby, because this is the team saying, like, you've been ineffective for the last 2 seasons. In fantasy, he was a wide receiver 43 in 2022 and the wide receiver 44 in 2021. Jerry Jeudy was more effective at the end of the season when they fired Nathaniel Hackett and moved him outside. So now you've got Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, or Tim Patrick and Jerry Jeudy on the outside. You can slot Marvin Mims into right into that slot role where he was more effective at Oklahoma in the slot. This just makes a ton of sense to me. This is the type of guy that Sean Payton loves to have on his offense. He's a guy who works well in the middle of the field. He's a guy who works inside the 20-yard range from the line of scrimmage, which is what Russell Wilson at this stage in his career needs. And this is a team that's in win now mode. And he's fast. He's really fast. 4.38 40 at the combine. 131.7 burst score on Player Profiler. Those things matter in this offense because he creates yards after contact and yards after the catch. And that's what you want to see in this kind of offense. And I think it should be noted, Jamal Williams' injury, we don't know exactly how bad it was. We have an idea, but this team didn't make a move for a running back in the draft or in free agency. Latavius Murray just signed with the Bills, who a lot of people assumed Peyton was going to go after and bring in along with Samaje Perine. They didn't do it. That tells me that they're going to value the pass in this offense in 2023, at least early on, pretty heavily. And you don't trade up for a guy like Mims in the second round and pay him second round money to not use him out of the gate.
Yeah. I think the other thing too, is you're investing in a stable guy like Sean Payton and you're and listen, Russ, I know Russ had a bad year, but can we just say maybe there was just a little bit to do with Nathaniel Hackett and everything was new. He lost Tim Patrick. Let's say I'm going to give him a second chance with Sean Payton. I think he bounces back. That's all we got today, folks. That's our top five players from day two that'll have the biggest impact for Dynasty heading into 2023. I want to thank my guest today, Nate Polvo, for joining the show. Nate, I know you did a great job, by the way, fighting through your voice, but one last thing I got to ask you. Tell the people what you got on deck, where they can find your content before we close the show.
Well, most of my content, just follow me on Twitter, at Nate Polvo. But Wednesday, check out the Dynasty Diehards at 6 p.m. Eastern on the Razzball YouTube channel, right where you are right now with John Helmkamp. We have a couple of pretty exciting guests coming on to talk about our reaction to the draft and what we think of some of these players moving forward.
Thank you, man. Well, I appreciate your time again. Once again, this is the Razzball Fantasy. If you've been watching this whole time and you haven't subscribed, what are you doing? Hit the button, subscribe, leave a comment. Let us know if there's a day two pick that you thought we should discuss on the show today. We'll be back later in the week. We're going to talk winners and losers from the NFL draft. Nate will be on for Dynasty Diehards on Wednesday. So we have a bunch of content coming at you all week long. And of course, make sure you subscribe to the TikTok and IG. And of course, make sure you jump over to Razzball.com. We got great content in the football, basketball, baseball, and hockey side. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby Lamarco. You can follow me at Bobby Lamarco on Twitter. Nate, thanks again. We are out of here.